Good morning and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff, and thanks so much for being a part of our service here today. You now have two different options as far as Sunday morning goes. You can continue to watch our service online, or you can be a part of our in-person service. And the in-person service is at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, but you do have to pre-register for that. It's a very simple process that you go to calendarbaychurch.ca. And there's some simple questions, and a mask is required if you want to join in on the in-person service. But whichever you choose, the online or in-person, we appreciate your commitment to Calendar Bay Church. And we do thank you for your ongoing financial support of Calendar Bay Church. And there's a couple ways that you can give to Calendar Bay Church. One is online. You just simply go to calendarbaychurch.ca. We had a couple technical issues as far as that goes, but that is all resolved. And so you can give safely and securely online by going to calendarbaychurch.ca. The other way that you can give is to simply mail your gift to the church. And our mailing address is Calendar Bay Church, Box 218, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. Again, our mailing address is Calendar Bay Church, Box 218, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. Well, we do have a prayer meeting on Monday nights at 7 o'clock, and it is a conference call. And how that works, there's been some confusion around that, is basically you just let me know and I will call you and let you into the conference call. But you do need to get a hold of me. And so if you are interested in that, please just contact me and I'll make sure that you become a part of the conference call prayer meeting that takes place Monday nights at 7 o'clock. Our youth ministry is going on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Thanks to those who lead from our church and from our South Shore church. And that is Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. We meet here at Calendar Bay Church. We also have some small groups that are up and functioning. There's two of them going right now. And if you're interested in being a part of one of our small groups, you can contact the church and we will help you to be able to get connected in a small group. Very excited. Our Living Nativity, we are getting ready and prepped for that. And if you are interested in helping out with our Living Nativity or just to get some information, there are three people that you can contact. Number one is Wilma Schweitzer. Number two is Patricia Atwood. And the third is me. And so if you want to get some more information about our Living Nativity and the different ways that you can help with that, we're planning for December, and it should be a great time. And so if you're interested in the Living Nativity, just to contact one of those people. Just want to let you know that we do have lots of online resources that are available as well. Each week we put together a Bible discovery lesson that you can go through with your kids, ties into the message. There's also the small group curriculum. You don't even have to be a part of a small group to join in a discussion. And so you can discuss the message and go through some of the questions in your own household or maybe with a friend over the phone. Just another great way of keeping connected. But there's lots of other things, including all the sermons that we have are available so that you can watch them online. And so if there's one that you missed, you can just go back and you can watch it again. There's other articles that are there. We've been trying to add different resources, some that you can contribute and give your input to as well. But don't let these resources go to waste. Go to calendarbaychurch.ca, and there's lots of things that are available there to help you on your spiritual journey. Well, we want to worship the Lord this morning, and so we want to sing, and we're going to sing Our God is Greater. Let's lift it up wherever you are.
Open the eyes of the blind.
Well, we are continuing on a series of messages called The Life You've Always Wanted, Spiritual Disciplines for Everyday People. And I think that this is a very significant and important set of messages because our society has had something crazy. And then you probably all know the fabric of society is broken down. Yeah, it kind of has. And things are very different than a year ago. And we have this interesting opportunity to be able to develop and grow in spiritual habits and spiritual practices. That because of the way things go, or the way things have unfolded, society has almost come to a standstill. And problem is that many of us have filled our lives with just a new kind of busyness instead of seizing the opportunity to be able to develop in the area of good spiritual practices. And I think that many of us have confused over the years busyness with spirituality. And God is very interested in us in developing substance in our spiritual life, that he wants us to develop depth. And busyness robs us of depth and substance in our spirituality. And so God is very interested in you and me building depth by developing good spiritual habits. And here we've been given a glorious opportunity in order to be able to do that. And so God wants us to seize that opportunity. And so don't waste this. Don't waste this moment. And let's develop spiritual habits. And so the spiritual habit that we want to talk about is the practice of servanthood. That God calls us to a life of serving. And we've called this message appropriate smallness. Because in life, sometimes we can become very self-centered, and self-centered makes us think bigger of ourselves than what is appropriate. But God wants us to look at ourselves with appropriate smallness. And one of the things that you may have asked yourself as the world has gone kind of crazy, you know, in the summer I did a series of messages called Helping You Navigate Life, looking at some of the complex issues that we are running into, areas of morality and areas of post-truth and the cancel culture and racism, and there's all sorts of different factors that have weighed into it that have just make life very complicated and very strange. And sometimes you ask yourself the question, well, what is wrong with the world? Like, why is it always like this? And so after doing some thinking about it, I kind of came to the conclusion that the issue is me. Well, you're probably thinking, well, I thought the same thing. I thought it was you too. And not me as in me in as an individual, but me as in the sense of each one of us contributes to the state that we're in. The problem is that we are thinking that we are the center of the universe. That life is about me, and it's about my fulfillment and my purpose and my will and all these different me things. And it's become the me decade. That wasn't that what they called it a number of years ago. It's the me decade. Well, it's continued to be the me decades. And we are starting to pay the price for our self-centeredness. You know, and it comes by naturally, you know, when I think about this, because every day you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror and it is you in the mirror, and, you know, you have to make sure that you get to your job. You have to make sure that you have personal hygiene. You know, you are this kind of the center of your own little world. The problem is that you can begin to lose focus on that. And what you begin to focus on is the fact that you begin to think that everything is about you. And if everything is about you, eventually you're going to come into conflict with other people because they're going to be thinking the exact same thing. life is about me. And so if you have a conflict of wills, then you have problems. And I think this is one of the most major problems in the world right now, is that we are just a world of clashing self-centeredness. And it causes all sorts of difficulties. And what we need to realize is that you and I are not the center of the universe. And if we try to live that way, it is going to wreak havoc on our spirituality. Because spirituality is not designed to be all about me. It's about far greater things. You know, the first real problem or sin that is confronted in the Bible is the sin of pride. And it's the oldest sin in the book. And it's in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. And they're in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. And they are confronted by the serpent, who plays upon Eve's self-centeredness. And then look at what he says. Because they had been told that if you eat from the tree, you're going to die. And he says, and the serpent says, "You will certainly not die. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The temptation was, you don't need to have God. You can be God. You can be the center of everything. It's not God, it's you. And this has become, this initial sin has been one that has gone on and on and on. That we become the center of the world. The first sin was pride and wanting to be like God. And this has been one of the most major problems in spirituality since the beginning of time. That we are interested in putting us, ourselves, on the throne. And really, the Bible teaches us there's only one on the throne, and it's not you. And so we have kind of had this Messiah complex where we think we are the savior of our own lives. And that's what, North American society is all about. It's about rugged individualism. It's about you are a self-made individual. And so you are the one, you are the master of your destiny. And so here we have one of the most difficult issues, that we live in a society which promotes this type of thinking. And so we end up getting kind of sucked into that, and it will, I guarantee you, wreak havoc in your spiritual life. And so the Bible says these things about pride. It says pride goes before destruction. And then it says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So scripture tells us that if you go down the path of pride and selfishness, it's eventually going to lead to your destruction. And if there's pride on your spiritual journey, it says that God's going to oppose that. It's not going to bless that. And pride, particularly in our society, has made us into a narcissistic society, that we are very self-focused. And this is wreaking havoc on our spiritual lives. So how do we recognize pride in our own lives? It's a good question. How do we recognize the fact that, we are getting caught up in this onslaught of pride? Number one is, how evident is vanity in your life? You know, vanity is concerned about, you know, our appearance and how things look to other people. Are we more concerned about our own image than we are the image of Christ coming through in our lives? And so we live in a society that promotes vanity. Most of our a lot of our products are all about looking good, and so vanity is there. Another way that pride shows up is through stubbornness, an unwillingness to a shunning of correction in our lives. And so if our lives are typified by stubbornness, it is a sign of pride in our lives, because we are proud of or unable to be corrected because we think we can just do it ourselves. And last 2 weeks ago, we talked about prayer. And one of the problems with prayer is that sometimes we are so self-reliant that it keeps us from prayer, because we just think that we can do it ourselves and we don't need God to come in. And so the other thing is that we start to exclude people, because, you know, if we pride, it means that we're self-sufficient, and so we don't need other people, and ultimately we're saying to God, I don't need you. And so exclusion is a sign that we have pride in our lives. Stuart McAllister says this. He says, moral and social restraints have been rejected, weakened, or targeted as instruments of oppression. He says, looking good and feeling good has replaced being good and doing good, and most people cannot tell the difference. We have become a society fixated on looking good instead of being good. And this is just another sign of pride and narcissism. And so we need to start looking at, it says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And humbleness is appropriate smallness. Now, God doesn't want us to think of, there was actually a kind of a theological trend a number of centuries ago called worm theology, where you just thought yourself as awful. You're an awful person. And that's not what Scripture teaches us, that we are highly valued, that God thinks we're important, that God loved us so much that he sent his son for us. We are significant and important. But we're not to think of ourselves too highly. And so God wants us to live in that appropriate smallness, understanding our value, but understanding as well that we live in the fact that God is the center of everything and that he is what is most important. And so we have this sense of appropriate smallness. And Scripture gives us a very clear call to live humbly. And the problem with humility is that it is a trait that you don't get by trying to be humble. You get it by doing other things which lead to humility in your life. And so this is what the Bible says. Micah 6:8 says to walk humbly with your God. Luke 14:11, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. James 4:10, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. 1 Peter 5:6-7, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. And so Scripture tells us that God is interested in developing in his followers this sense of appropriate smallness, the ability to be able to humble themselves, and in that process, God is the one who lifts them up. And so we live in this constant desire towards humility, because that shows that God is at the center of our lives. And following Jesus is what he taught when he was doing ministry here on earth. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 20:26. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And so here is Jesus' call. Don't desire to go for greatness. Don't go for greatness. Go for serving. And then it says in Matthew 20:28, he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so Jesus gave us the ultimate example, that Jesus didn't come to this planet so that people would serve him, that he served them. And he gave them the ultimate example of serving in the fact that he gave his very life for us as a servant. And Jesus taught, one of the last examples that he gave us was the washing of his disciples' feet. And Jesus says that after he washed his disciples' feet, he said, I'm leaving this as an example for you. And some have interpreted that this means that it's a sacrament, that, you know, it's something that, you know, just as we do communion and baptism, that, you know, that maybe that needs to be a part. And I don't think that's what Jesus was teaching at all. I think Jesus was teaching that we need to be living in humble service to other people. And it's not about washing feet. It's about the attitude that goes behind it. And that we need to be serving other people. We need to be setting aside our pride to be able to help and serve other people. And that's the call. And so Jesus is calling his disciples. If you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, it's not about seeking greatness. It's about becoming a servant. Because in the process of becoming a servant, you become great in God's eyes. So we need to be moving in the practice of servanthood. And so how do we enter into this life of serving? You know, if we, again, it's not by desiring and becoming, and so trying to do things that make us look like we're humble. It's by doing acts of service, we move towards humility. And so let me just give you very quickly some ideas on how we can move ourselves towards serving. And let me just give you four suggestions. Number one, the ministry of the mundane. Most of our lives are very mundane. We go through, we're very cycle-based, you know, that we go from this, basically do the same things over and over and over and over again. And God wants us to reach down in the mundaneness of our lives and find ministry in the midst of us. And this is where, you know, God calls us to be serving in our own households. Because it's in those mundane activities that we model to our kids, to our family members, of what servanthood looks like. And it's also in the regular activities, the ministry of the mundane. If you go to the same gas station, if you go to the same restaurants, that in those places, in those mundane activities, there are always opportunities to be able to serve. Might be a little bit more difficult and complicated right now, but still, there are tons of opportunities in the mundane activities. Most of us just go through our days and it's the same again and again and again. And God wants to reach down into the mundaneness of your activities. And he's saying, you have opportunities to be able to serve in the midst of the mundane. And so don't be so quick to jump to other places. Don't be in a hurry. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a second. But God wants to reach down into the mundaneness of your activities. And in those mundane activities, you will find that there are tons of opportunities to be able to serve. And so in the process of moving towards humility, we discover that we can find that path in the ministry of the mundane. The ministry of being interrupted. Oh, this is hard. I have to admit, this one's a really hard one for me. I don't like to be interrupted. in the sense that, you know, if I'm working on something, I don't want to answer the phone. If I'm doing something, you know, I don't want to be interrupted from those things. And so, and if I'm on a tight schedule, I don't want to be interrupted. But sometimes the biggest ministry opportunities in our lives to serve other people come in the interruptions of life. And if we're not willing to let God interrupt us, then what we are saying to God is my agenda is more important than yours. And so we need to allow God the opportunity to be able to interrupt us. And so as we get up in the morning, we should be praying, God, I am open to whatever interruptions you bring my way. I am going to open myself and I'm going to see if there is going to be opportunities to serve other people when I am interrupted. And so the ministry in the mundane, ministry of being interrupted, and embracing our weaknesses and limitations. You know, I remember a number of years ago, and I think I've shared this with you before, but it just really profoundly spoke to me. And it was an article that was written about basketball. Maybe that was the reason it got my attention. And the article was written about that, you know, as a right-handed player, like I'm right-handed, so if I'm playing basketball, my natural tendency is to go to the right, those areas that I am strong. And it is, but if you want to be a good basketball player, you have to start learning to also go to your left, which is your weak side. And that lesson from that article taught me that sometimes I need to, you know, I have those things that in my life that I'm not bad at them. I can do those things. And so I naturally move towards those things, the things that I am good at. And most of us do that. That's why we get into jobs, because, well, you go into a job because you're good at it. And that's why you do it. Well, unless you're just doing a basic job. But anyway, the point is that in spirituality, oftentimes we do go to our strong areas, and so we're good at those things. But God teaches us that it's in our weakness that often we can be the most strong. And that's a humbling experience, because then we realize, you know what? It's not about me. It's about God and my willingness to obey His voice no matter what the circumstances. And so in my weaknesses and in my limitations, God is able to do miraculous things. And I begin to discover that it's not just about the things that I want to do. It's about God working in and through me. And I have discovered that God does some of His most amazing work when I am weak, because then He is strong. And so let's embrace our weaknesses. And sometimes we will say to God, you can't use that. I'm not going to let you use that. That's weak. I don't like it. I don't want to use it. And it's another way of just kind of protecting ourselves. And in a backhanded way, it's our own pride that God can't use something. I'm in control of my life. And I'm not going to let you use that. And God says, you know what? If you want to be a follower of me, you give it all to me. And I want you to embrace your weaknesses and your limitations and let me use those. You know, one of the things that I've discovered is that, and I'm not even that old. I shouldn't complain too much. But getting older is sometimes not very much fun. And sometimes you find that your limitations are starting to get a little bit more cumbersome. But you know what? Even in the midst of those things, God is looking for us in our moment of weakness to use us. And it is when we use our weak things that God begins to develop and grow humility, because we begin to discover God is able to use me in spite of myself. And one last idea is the ministry of bearing. And what do I mean by that? Well, Scripture encourages us to bear with one another, you know, to encourage one another, to lift one another up. And bearing is the opposite of self-centeredness. It is other-centeredness. And when we use our bearing, we are putting others before ourselves. And in that process, we begin to allow God to use us to encourage other people. And our agenda gets set aside for His agenda. And so bearing is about carrying each other's burdens. You know, there's a lot of people that are going through difficult and hard things. And God wants us to set aside our agenda to help bear others' burdens. He wants us to comfort those that are going through loss and grief. You know, some of us have gone through some pretty difficult and traumatic grief issues. And whether it be the loss of a family member, or the loss of a relationship, or the loss of in life circumstances, that, you know, loss of job, whatever those losses are, God wants to use us. And this is, again, we're using weakness. God wants us to bear those burdens with other people and help comfort those individuals. And God wants us to stand in the gap for other people. That's another way of bearing for other people. Bearing one another's burdens. That God wants you to stand in the gap for those individuals and let them know you're praying for them. And the last one is probably the hardest one, is that you bear with until you begin to love people. You know, there are those people that are really not easy to love. They are difficult people. They are draining people. They are not encouraging people. And God wants us to start to bear, and more than just tolerate, begin to bear those people until God begins to do a transformational work in our lives of really helping us to love one another. Because the Word of God tells us that they will know we are His disciples by our love for one another. And so we need to bear with one another. I thought this was a really funny concept that John Ortberg had said. He says, God's great holy joke about the Messiah complex is this: every human being who has ever lived has suffered from it, except for one. And he was the Messiah. So here, all of us throughout history have struggled with self-centeredness, putting ourselves on the throne of our lives. And finally, the one who is on the throne comes to earth. And what does he do? He models servanthood. And even though he was God, did not flaunt that or consider himself that. He became a servant to help other people. And God wants us to become servants. Jesus gave us the great example of washing others' feet. And he says, I leave you this as an example. And what was the example? You need to serve other people, even their stinky, smelly feet. Jesus really did give us the ultimate example, something that was such a menial task. And as we go from here, we need to daily determine that we will serve. It is the great cure for what's wrong in this world as we let God into our lives and help us to be able to practice servanthood, appropriate smallness. God loves you. God values you. God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. God equipped you and God gave you his gifts and he filled you with his spirit. You are of great value. But God says you need to set aside your self-centeredness and you need to humble yourself. And when you humble yourself, he's going to lift you up. Appropriate smallness. Let's learn the practice of servanthood. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this challenge from your word. And it really does fly in the face of everything that our society has told us. Because society tells us that we need to look out for ourselves and we need to take care of ourselves and we need to do all the things that are going to bring us fulfillment. And then you tell us that if we really want to be great, if we want to discover meaning and purpose, we find it not in trying to fill ourselves. We find it through the process of serving. And in this appropriate smallness, we discover as we humble ourselves that ultimately God lifts us up. And so, Father, we thank you that you call us to be your servants. May we live out this truth daily. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we want to sing, and this song is a song of commitment. Oh, come to the altar. And as we sing it together, I hope that you'll make this your prayer. You know, that you will bring your selfishness and your self-centeredness and your narcissistic tendencies and your desire to place yourself as the center of your life. And you'll bring those things to the foot of the cross and you'll come to the altar. And you'll say, God, make me a servant. Let's sing it together.
Come.
Well, I hope you sang that song as a prayer this morning. And that as we go from here out into our regular activities, that we will be practicing appropriate smallness, the practice of servanthood. I pray that you would have a great week. And if you're interested in being a part of our Living Nativity, I encourage you to give Wilma or Patricia or myself a call. And we will talk to you about it and see what's all involved. Hope you have a great week. There's some discussion that'll take place after the service, and you can talk about the message today and how you can be a servant. God bless you. Have a great week.